Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to Captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on YouTube and Facebook, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Twitter or X at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 3rd of August 2024, and the title of today's show is UK Up in Arms, Olympics Died 2024, and Kamala Chameleon. And I couldn't get out of my head the Culture Club song, Karma Chameleon, which as soon as I saw Kamala referred to as the chameleon, that just stuck in my head, as these songs often do. I've got lots to share with you today. And before I do that, I just want to let you know that I've developed a new menu of packages at various price points to make transformation more affordable. I've got my signature Dream Achiever 3-month coaching program, but I wanted to offer other packages that were at a lower price point. And I now offer a package of sessions that will clear negative emotions and limiting beliefs using timeline therapy and hypnotherapy. It happens very quickly. Create your future using timeline therapy and hypnotherapy again to embed your future goals in your unconscious mind, which is where all change happens, and smooth your path to their achievement. I'm also offering a manifestation assessment and coaching session just to give you a diagnostic as to what's standing between you and consistent success in manifestation and how to resolve that. A quantum human design reading that will explain your unique energy blueprint and how to use it for personal and professional growth. And also a customized hypnotherapy audio. And this is where I'll provide a hypnotherapy recording that is tailored to your specific needs, whether it's a goal achievement, confidence building, prosperity mindset, anything that is going to address any challenges you have, or if you want to confirm your goals and how to achieve them. So if any of those interests you, I'll have them up on my website shortly. But in the meantime, if you'd like to know more, you can email me at jan@thesuccessalchemist.net and we'll arrange a short call over Zoom so that we can talk about what the best approach is for you in terms of what you're looking for. So on to the news. And I start with the UK up in arms, and we've seen a horrific attack in this last week on a dance class, a summer group for kids, where I think it was 11 people were stabbed. Nine of those were children, pretty young children, and the death toll is now at 3. Kids of 6, 7, and 9. And this comes after many, many issues with attacks on people generally, not just children, but stabbings, raping young girls, grooming gangs, you name it. And I'm going to give you a list of that in a minute. But it's got to the point of the Brits having enough, and there was a very inflammatory speech by Prime Minister Keir Starmer, which really was the final straw for people. So I'm going to cover quite a few things here, some of the background to this, but also the response to what the British have been through, even under the Conservative government as well. And bear in mind that Starmer and the Labour Party have been in power for less than a month. In fact, the election was July 4th, and of course it's August the 4th tomorrow. Even people in the US on X are saying they just can't believe that the UK is in such a bad state. Now, bear in mind that the election turnout was pretty low. I can't remember the exact figures, but the way that the UK elections work is it's a first-past-the-post system. And I've shared this a few weeks ago when the election actually happened, because the number of seats that are awarded to each party are completely disproportionate to the number of votes that they received. And so really the Labour Party has no real mandate, because I think they only got 20% of the votes that were cast. And that's another reason why people are so inflamed over what they've done in the few short weeks that they've been in power. So to give you the background to this, this is a tweet or an X post by Joe Happy Chappy 67. And he's posted a screenshot of a list of what's happened in the last 4 weeks. Army officer stabbed 12 times, Leeds riots for 3 days, two thugs violently assaulting three armed police officers in an airport who haven't been arrested, riots in Rotherham, four of them, three little girls murdered, 10 injured, sword fights and machete attacks in Southend, 28 men convicted of gang raping a British girl today. Not sure what date that was, but it's certainly within this last week, even Friday. Receiving 400 years because their crimes were so revolting and brutal they can't even be published. 8 men charged with gang raping another British child today. Woman beaten to death by 2 Somalis while walking her dog. 17 knife murders in 48 hours, 3,000 churches burned, vandalised or desecrated, 7 months of 600,000 people calling for the genocide of Jews, postmen pushed onto rail tracks. There's dozens more examples. And as a final slap in the face to the Indigenous British, £170 million to go to protect mosques. Notice it's not to protect the British people against the Islamic extremist illegal immigrants. £6 billion more pounds on illegals, while Starmer freezes and starves pensioners. And the story behind that is that the Home Secretary, I can't remember her name, they're all pretty mediocre people in the government, I'm sorry to say. But what's happened is the pensioners have been getting a fuel allowance every winter because of the cost of energy. And that has now been withdrawn unless you're receiving additional pension credit. And the threshold for that is absolutely ludicrous. It's like £200 a week. If you're in receipt of more than £200 a week, you don't get anything. And also bear in mind that the pensions, the state pensions here in the UK, are pitifully low and far lower than the rest of the European Union countries. Meanwhile, billions of pounds are being sent overseas. I think it's something like 17 million for foreign net zero projects in Africa, of all things. And of course, Starmer, as soon as he got in, pledged £3 billion a year to Ukraine. And the country is in a complete mess. The streets are full of potholes. We've got raging inflation, just like the US. So these same pensioners are struggling to buy food. And in winter, they're having to decide between heating the house and doing their grocery shopping. It's absolutely despicable. Another tweet from Anthony Boutel. Riot strikes, massive spike in small boats, removal of winter fuel support for pensioners, hospital works abandoned, school teachers preparing for tax exodus chaos. That's because they're applying VAT, value-added tax, at 20% to private school fees. Free speech surrendered in British universities. That's a recent law that was passed. £1.5 billion added to future energy bills. Attempts to overturn the CAS review. I'm not quite sure what that is. Diverting house building from where it's needed. Pumping taxpayers' money into union pay deals. Renewed support for an international organisation infiltrated by terrorists. North Sea investment evaporating. Energy security surrendered. Defence procurement uncertainty. Businesses and investors leaving the UK, support for two-tiered policing, huge tax hikes in the pipeline. And join the new Labour government, we're only 4 weeks in. And they really are going overboard with this net zero crap. They're taking over farmland to set up these massive solar panel farms, as they call it. People are saying we shouldn't be calling this farms because they're not doing anything creative. And also they've closed down an oil refinery in Scotland, which has made a lot of people redundant. They're stopping the drilling for oil. It's just WEF insanity. You know, people talk about them being incompetent, but of course this is all part of the globalist plan. In terms of two-tier policing, the response to Muslim protests is vastly different to what happens when the British get on the streets. And there was a major rally last weekend, which was led by Tommy Robinson. Today, there are quite a number of protests around the country after what I've been telling you about, especially the Southport murders. And the police come in very heavy-handed in riot gear. They have been videoed just picking random people out of the crowd who weren't doing anything and arresting them. In fact, one policeman was caught on video saying, oh, just pick anyone. Yeah, if there are Muslim protests, they're just there in normal gear and they've even run away from protesters. So we Brits are feeling like we're living under a fascist regime. I would like to add, though, that I have shared on Twitter, I do believe this is following the playbook that we've seen in the US, where people were allowed to get in power as part of the Great Reveal. It's this whole approach of you cannot tell people, you have to show them. So I'm staying optimistic about this because the people are saying no to it now. We can't possibly allow this to go on for 5 years to the next general election, because if they can do this much in 4 weeks, God help us for the next almost 5 years still to go. There's a petition already for Starmer to step down. I very much doubt that he'll do that because he's very much in bed with the WEF. He's picked Davos over Westminster in a previous interview. So he's basically following orders. But it's getting to the point where it's got to the point where the British are now standing up to this and saying, you know, this is just not acceptable. And as I say, Starmer inflamed the whole situation by a speech that he made on Friday after these incidents. And that made the British blood boil even hotter. Ironically, the only unbiased report I could find on this was from the Gateway Pundit. I did start looking at one from the Daily Telegraph, which is a very conservative rag, definitely part of the typical mainstream media. But even that was biased. about this situation in Southport. This report was published on July 30th, and the title is Third Child Dies After Knife Attack in Southport, England. Fed up citizens take to the streets. On Monday, a knife attack in Southport in the northwest of England left three young children dead. Five others are in critical condition, and two adults were also hurt. The murdered children have now been named by Merseyside police as 9-year-old Alice Da Silva Aguiar, 6-year-old Bibby King, and 7-year-old Elsie Dot Stancombe. According to AP, a witness described seeing bloody children running from a community centre where a Taylor Swift-themed dance and yoga event for children aged about 6 to 11 was taking place. Emergency services responded to the scene and police reported that they had detained a 17-year-old male suspect and seized the weapon. UK law prevents the release of details on the subject because he is under 18. He's only just under 18. In fact, he's 18 later this month. And after a lot of pushback about this, they did eventually release his name. And it turns out he's a second generation Rwandan with some very questionable background. In fact, the speculation that his parents came from Rwanda after all the genocide, and that he might even be a diplomat who was actually involved in that. Southport residents gathered for a vigil, and after reports of a man found with a balaclava and a knife by police, the scene turned chaotic. And GB News reported on Twitter, breaking, a man wearing a balaclava and carrying a knife has been arrested in Southport this evening, just yards from a vigil for the children killed in yesterday's attack. And guess what? He was a Muslim, of course. Although authorities are desperately trying to downplay the deadly incident, Southport residents are livid. James Goddard posts, the police are getting absolutely smashed in Southport. This is what happens when innocent children are butchered. And Connor Tomlinson on Twitter or X posted, people asking why are the protesters in Southport targeting a mosque? During the vigil for the three murdered girls, police arrested a man of Arab appearance, reportedly with a knife, in Southport town centre on his way to attack the vigil. Was this an Islamic terrorist? Globalist British Prime Minister Keir Starmer attended the vigil and was heckled by the crowd as one heartbroken citizen asked, are my children next, Prime Minister? It was again Gateway Pundit who reported on this speech or announcement that Keir Starmer gave. And this, of course, was published yesterday. That was the day of this announcement. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer's Orwellian mass facial recognition surveillance plan to silence citizens. It was Thursday, not Friday. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer announced new plans to use Orwellian tactics to, quote, stamp out the violent disorder seen in recent weeks, end quote. Three little girls were murdered in Southport, England this week, but according to Starmer, the real problem is disorder. Starmer's Soft on Crime, Tough on Dissent programme, the National Violent Disorder programme, would allow law enforcement to use mass surveillance with facial recognition meant to, quote, deter rising crime in the United Kingdom, end quote, more widely across the country. But his remarks that it will help to, quote, stamp out the violent disorder seen in recent weeks, end quote, suggests the main goal is to stop British citizens from protesting the woke immigration policies that are destroying the UK. In a press release announcing the programme, the British Prime Minister said, I've just held a meeting with senior police and law enforcement leaders where we've resolved to show who we are. Well, they're certainly doing that. A country that will not allow understandable fear to curdle into division and hate in our communities, and that will not permit, under any circumstances, a breakdown in law and order on our streets. Because let's be very clear about this. It's not protest. It's not legitimate. It's crime and violent disorder, an assault on the rule of law and the execution of justice. And so on behalf of the British people who expect their values and their security to be upheld, we will put a stop to it. And Big Brother Watch posts on Twitter, PM announces plan for increased use of Orwellian facial recognition. The alarming pledge to roll out facial recognition in response to recent disorder is a pledge to plunder more police resources on mass surveillance that threatens rather than protects democracy. Lawrence Fox posts, Kneeling Starmer hasn't been in power for a month and he's just destroyed the legitimacy of his regime. We are not far right. We will not be silenced. Try suppressing an entire nation, Keir Starmer. You may find yourself out of a job sooner than you anticipated. And that's in response to a post by Turning Point UK from Downing Street today. And this is showing a protest by Muslims. No riot police, no dogs, no kettling, no arrests. Britain's two-tier system is plain to see. So this is what people are up in arms about as well. As I said earlier, it's just a completely different approach to these Muslim protests than it is to the British people. Now, whether that's because they feel intimidated by all these Muslims, because half of them walk around wielding machetes and long knives, this is a lesson to the anti-gun faction in the US. It's not the weapon, it's the person. Because if it was just guns, we wouldn't have all these stabbings in the UK. Get it? Now, one of the things that has come up in the last few days is some very questionable things relating to this attack in Southport on this dance class or dance group. And we've got many good diggers in the UK, just as we have in the US. And the Yorkshire Lass is one of them. And what we're starting to suspect is this may have been a false flag, a PSYOP. And that's not to say that people don't actually get hurt in these false flags, but some of the circumstances surrounding it are looking very suspicious. So she posted, okay, who had the Southport stabbing as a government stroke MI5 stage PSYOP using paid actors on their bingo card? It's all a hoax to start civil unrest with violence and riots. This is to bring digital ID in and to justify a surveillance state, label protesters far right, to apply restrictions on protests and to create division. The divide and conquer strategy. They always used children to pull at the heartstrings of the masses, and it worked, even on many awake people. This is another reason I don't go in full steam ahead when news breaks like this. I always step back and watch the truth unfold, because in the end, when the mainstream media, who are owned by Israel, show back-to-back breaking news coverage on one story, you have to ask, what are they distracting you from? Look here and not there tactics. Now I'll be waiting for people to jump on this post and tell me they knew someone that knows someone that spoke to someone who died at the Southport attacks. So far, I've had nearly 30 people tell me they know someone. The woman who got arrested for protesting, there was a number 33 behind her. It's all staged and pushed by Masons. Create a problem, get a reaction, and then tell the public you have a solution. Also, isn't it funny that they have used a paid actor that has worked with the BBC? The BBC are in the news a lot at the moment, especially with what's coming out on Hugh Edwards. Like I say, Edwards is the tip of the iceberg. All roads lead to Savile, Epstein and the royals. And Hugh Edwards has just pleaded guilty to having child sex abuse videos on his devices, which of which three of them are Class A, which are the most serious. involving a 7-year-old, of all things. And to digress for a moment, there was such a cover-up of Jimmy Savile's horrific pedophilia and necrophilia. Of course, he was working for the BBC as the presenter of Jim Will Fix It. And there was a news anchor called Jill Dando who, and I can't remember when it happened, but years ago, she was found murdered on her doorstep, and she'd apparently been about to reveal a paedophile ring in the BBC. So, very suspicious. I don't think the murderer was ever found, and a very convenient way to shut her up. Back to the ex-post, stop falling for the BS psyops. They are distracting you from the truth. Nothing can stop what is coming. And it links to a Daily Mail article, which I won't go into. She posts again, is anyone surprised that the government uses crisis actors to simulate crisis incidents across multiple platforms for emerging security needs in the UK and worldwide to help police, the army and the emergency services, hospitals, schools, local authorities, government, private security firms, shopping centres, airports, big business, criminal justice departments, media and the military? And it's a screenshot of the Home Office website looking for crisis cast. And there are many comments in the thread that are basically saying they thought this was very suspicious, especially when in the mainstream fake media they showed a picture of him as a child looking all sweet and innocent and claimed that he was autistic and never went out. And all the social media relating to him has been wiped from the internet. So now on to the Olympics. And I said in the title, Olympics died 2024. Now, as if the opening ceremony wasn't enough, we now have a major uproar because of a male transgender competing in women's boxing who viciously hit the Italian competitor who literally gave up after 46 seconds, I believe. There are reports that stadiums are half empty and they're offering to tourists tickets at like £12 or some similar number of euros to attend because they're looking so empty. Attendees are boycotting cashless eateries. And because of the backlash to the opening ceremony, they've wiped, the IOC that is, has wiped all the video of it off the internet. Not only did they raise it with social media sites to remove any clips from social media posts, but the whole video of the opening ceremony has now been taken down. They did put out an apology that wasn't an apology, saying there was no disrespect intended and that they were sorry that some people were offended by it, and claimed that it was a pagan festival that they were portraying, which of course was definitely not a pagan festival of Dionysus, because there's a painting of that which bears no resemblance to how they set up that table to look exactly like the Last Supper in Leonardo da Vinci's portrait. So this has all failed miserably. And of course, the other interesting thing is that the day of the opening ceremony, there was a total blackout in Paris, as well as a massive downpour, which was a real washout for the ceremony itself. And my favourite astrologer, Starseed Astrologer, put out on X that the only lights that were on were the Church of the Sacré-Cœur. So it really does feel like the hand of God was involved in all of this in response to the blasphemy. Zero Hedge reports on the backlash to all of this. Rebel Archbishop slams Olympics as vile attack on God, says Macron married a tranny Obama accompanied by muscular man in wig. As we noted on Sunday, French bishops were outraged at the Olympics opening ceremony over its blatant mockery of Christianity, in which transgender men and a child reenacted Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper, along with many other sexualized scenes that included a man with his testicles exposed and hanging out of his outfit. The display has led to worldwide outrage, including several corporate sponsors ditching the Olympics. Colin Rugg on X posted, "Justin, telecommunications company CSpire has removed all advertising from the Olympics after they mocked Christianity in their opening ceremony. CSpire is the sixth largest wireless provider in the United States." At the centre of this scene was rotund French DJ Barbara Butch, a Jewish lesbian who bragged on social media about mocking Christianity, only to delete the post after controversy erupted. Sarah Fields on X posts, "Barbara Butch, the woman in the centre, posted this photo to her Instagram, admitting that this photo had everything to do with them mocking the scriptures. She then deleted it a few hours later and called it the Feast of the Gods. Nope, caught." The Olympics apologised for the ceremony, insisting there was never an intention to show disrespect to a religious group, with the scene created by artistic director Thomas Jolly, also of Jewish descent, who notably excluded a depiction of, say, Muhammad and his young bride at the table. Needless to say, Christians are pissed. Benny Johnson on X posts, "Fellow Christian, can you please join me in a complete and total boycott of the blasphemous, sickening, satanic occult ritual formerly known as the Olympics? Jesus Christ will not be mocked. We are the majority. Let's demonstrate power. Do not tolerate darkness. Do not watch." Including Italian Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, the former papal nuncio to the United States who questioned the legitimacy of Pope Francis and the authority of the Second Vatican Council and was excommunicated 3 weeks ago for his refusal to recognize and submit to the Supreme Pontiff. In a scathing rebuke of the Olympics, Vigano called the opening ceremony the latest in a long series of vile attacks on God, the Catholic religion, and natural morality by the antichristic elite that holds hostage Western countries. "We saw a dystopian dance macabre in holograms of the Horsemen of the Apocalypse, alternated with a plump blue Dionysus served under a bell of various courses, the parody of the LGBTQ plus Last Supper," the letter continues. Vigano also pointed to disconcerting scenes at the 2012 London Olympics, the 2016 inauguration of the Gotthard Tunnel, and the 2022 Commonwealth Games, featuring infernal figures, goats, and terrifying animals. "The elite who organises these ceremonies demand not only the right to blasphemy and the obscene display of the foulest vices, but even their mute acceptance by Catholics and decent people who are forced to suffer the outrage, the most sacred symbols of their faith and the very foundations of the natural law desecrated." According to Vigano, Satan makes nothing, only he ruins everything. He does not invent, he tampers. And his followers are no different. They humiliate women's femininity in order to erase the motherhood that recalls the Virgin Mother. They castrate man's manhood in order to tear from the image of God's fatherhood. They corrupt the little ones in order to kill them and make them victims of the most abject wokeism. Vigano says it's no coincidence that the ceremonies were presided over by French President Emmanuel Macron, an emissary of the World Economic Forum, who passes off a transvestite as his own wife with impunity, just as Barack Obama is accompanied by a muscular man in a wig. I love that, it's classic. Overton window intensifies. Even the governments of Egypt and Iran were offended. "And zero Christian nations did anything," posted The Real Fly on X. And it shows a a screenshot or it's in reply to AF post, Iran has summoned France's ambassador for the blasphemous representation of Christ's Last Supper at the Olympics opening. So there you have it. The Olympics are dead because they've had backlash from all over the world to the ceremony. And not only the ceremony, but as I said, by allowing transgender men into women's sports. And there are so many people on X who have and on Facebook actually, who have said they've completely boycotted the Olympics because of this and just refused to watch. And that, of course, will kill advertising revenue. So not only have they lost ticket money because people aren't going, they're losing revenue because people refuse to even watch it on TV. And, of course, they're boycotting the sponsors who are pasted all over the Olympic stadiums, or stadia, if I'm going to be technically correct, and on all the merchandise, I imagine, as well. So it's been an absolute disaster for them, which I can't say they don't deserve. Before I continue with the news, I'm going to insert an extract from Matthew, his monthly message. And if you're not familiar with Matthew, you'll find matthewbooks.com is the source. And Matthew died at the age of 18, I believe. And his mother channels monthly messages from him. The Say What Show, which follows the Saturday broadcast of my show, if you're going to be listening live, they always cover Matthew's message, and I'm not going to cover the whole thing. I just want to cover the political elements of it. And what it says is, we have been asked why former US President Barack Obama was willing to campaign for a man he surely must know is not Joseph Biden. The Obama seen publicly for the past few years is an AI clone that replaced the man who was acting as Barack's double. To start at the beginning, the Rockefellers head the vast, formidable Illuminati faction in the United States and have long controlled both major political parties. Half the faction wanted Hillary Clinton to be Democratic Party presidential nominee in 2008. Half wanted Barack Obama. When the latter became the party candidate, his backers told him Joe Biden would be his vice president. And when he won the election, they told him who to appoint to cabinet positions, and the first was Hillary, as Secretary of State. Obama was both controlled and undermined by the Rockefeller bloc within and outside the government. As an example, his plan to make healthcare insurance available to citizens who didn't qualify under existing systems upset old apple carts. The Affordable Care Act fell far short of what he wanted to offer. The only legislation Congress would enact was designed by lobbyists for the Illuminati-owned insurance and pharmaceutical industries. After attempts to rig the 2012 election failed, individuals at the peak of that secret society looked ahead to Obama's potential usefulness after his second term ended. The pedophile ring that became known as Pizzagate had come to light, and a name blame would be helpful if conspiracy theory didn't deter persistent investigators. Illuminati minions made photos and films of Obama conducting satanic rites and composed blatantly false emails and other documents, added all of those to a detailed list of their unspeakable activities, and implicated him as the mastermind, along with finger pointing as a possible use for that packet of material. The Illuminati located persons who closely resembled Barack and Michelle. When he refused to cooperate with their lethal agenda for COVID-19, both Obamas were killed. Their doubles quietly stepped in and kept a low profile. The Obama daughters received dire threats and minor financial assistance. Other threats were issued, and any individual who couldn't be bribed was replaced with a lookalike or died, quote, naturally. And the peak Illuminati felt the time was right to leak the secret in the upper ranks that Barack was their leader. The vile concocted material was forgotten when a new plan was devised when an actor started portraying Biden in 2021. AI clones of the Obamas would be produced and campaign for that imposter. Their popularity with voters and a stirring State of the Union speech by the actor could defeat Donald Trump, the other presidential contender in this year's election. Because the Illuminati cannot control Trump, it was essential to them that the Democrats retain power. After a deficient AI clone of Biden gave a poor presidential debate performance, Biden dropped out of the race and the emphasis of the Obama clone support was redirected. There are other twists to this sad story about the spiritually evolved soul the highest universal council asked to incarnate as Barack Obama and serve as United States President. His many lifetimes as a wise and beloved leader in advanced civilizations could have benefited that country and the world as the council and he himself envisioned, but he was prevented from doing anything progressive or benevolent. The 10-year delay in Earth civilization's advancement in conscious awareness that the Council had anticipated put Obama in the presidency when divisiveness, bigotry, greed, deceit, corruption, violence, impoverishment, and war mentality were rampant. The combination produced a massive quantity of the low vibrations that sustained the Illuminati's very survival, and they kept building on those destructive global situations. Decades later, during the uprooting of the Rockefeller Network in the USA, the blackmail materials were unearthed. In some circles, that despicable information is considered ironclad evidence, and the man who had died several years before, rather than participate in a diabolical plan to fake a pandemic, is today reviled by some as a consummate evildoer. Only top-level Illuminati or their portrayers know Obama has been a programmed clone for the past few years. Readers also have asked about the shooting of Donald Trump at a rally last month. Although an exhaustive investigation ensued, which is natural, it remains to be seen if findings include that the rally speaker was a Trump lookalike who agreed to play that risky role. We have heard that in some quarters there are speculations that the shooting was expected but allowed to happen to flush out the perpetrators and also to strengthen Trump's image of bold leadership. What we can confirm is, after numerous previous assassination attempts also went awry, some time ago the person Donald Trump was convinced to stay safely out of public view. Dear family, those aren't political matters we have been speaking about. They are fairly recent incidents of the pervasive malevolence, depravity, deception, and violence in the United States government that has affected the whole world for two centuries, as one generation of entrenched Illuminati after another has caused wars, famines, disease, toxic pollution, impoverishment, and destruction. Ending that darkness on Earth requires God's emissaries, white hats if you will, along with extraterrestrial special forces and intense light beamed from worlds afar to eliminate the atrocious global empire. Aided by the high vibrations in the light of volunteers and growing godliness within the peoples, the powerful light forces are steadily moving toward victory. World transformation is well underway. This is a phenomenal time to live on Earth. All light beings in this universe are cheering you all along your journey and supporting you with the power of unconditional love. Love and peace, Suzanne Ward. And I must give a hat tip to Annie Avedisian, who is a fellow broadcaster on Cosmic Reality Radio. She puts out the Metaphysical Martini, which I'm not sure if it's weekly or fortnightly now or two weekly, but definitely worth listening to. And in a conversation we had on, I think it may have been the Say What show, I can't remember exactly, it was so long ago, but we were talking about Obama, and she said then that he was actually an enlightened being. And I certainly read somewhere amongst the conspiracy theory posts that when Obama took office originally, he and his family were threatened that if they didn't toe the line, that they would basically all be killed. So there is, I do think there's basis to this message from Matthew. And incidentally, Annie is also a close friend of Matthew's mother, Suzanne Ward, and basically vouches for the validity of every message that comes through. So this is interesting to get this information. And I think most of us know that Trump is played by a double all the time, and even Ben Fulford says he's safe in Cheyenne Mountain, managing things from a place of security. So all these things are very much tying together. Now back to the news, and this is about the installation of Kamala Harris, Kama Chameleon, which I think is great, as the presumptive Democrat candidate for the presidential election. And it's just hilarious that the Democrats are so adamant that they're trying to save democracy when they're saving democracy by destroying it. Because as so many people are saying, she's the presumptive nominee, but no one actually voted for her. And there's a huge amount of mockery by the MAGA people and others, actually, who are calling out her pandering to the various communities. And Daily Caller has an article, "Failed the Community. Indian Americans Sound Off on Kamala Harris Submerged Indian Heritage. Focus on Black ID." Indian Americans are sounding off on Vice President Kamala Harris's alleged attempts to downplay her Indian heritage in favor of her Jamaican side of the family. Less than a week ago, as Harris entered the presidential race, the New York Times wrote that the vice president's Indian heritage is little advertised. Harris, with an Indian mother and Black Jamaican father, has long been touted as a historic figure breaking glass ceilings. But some Indian Americans told the caller they feel Harris's Indian identity is highlighted only when it's convenient for her. It appears now, as both a vice president and then subsequently now as a presidential candidate, that she's made the calculation, and the party has made the calculation, that her African American background needs to be emphasized, and that she needs to really kind of lead with that identity in order to continue to secure the African American vote across the country, which strongly identifies with the Democratic Party and specifically tied to Joe Biden. Suhail Khan, a conservative activist and former Bush administration official, told the caller. If you look at the 2020 election in the primary, Joe Biden outperformed Kamala Harris on every level, including with African Americans. While she might want to lean into her ethnic background when it is politically convenient to do so, the reality is that it does not matter. What matters are her policy positions, which would be a nightmare for most Americans and especially for the Indian American community, Akash Shugul, an Indian American conservative commentator, told the caller. When it has come to Harris's identity through her political career, the media has long focused on Harris's Black identity because of historic discrimination against Black people, Vox wrote. In 2016, the outlet notes, the media highlighted that Harris was the second Black woman to be elected to the Senate. But in the historic moment, Harris's Indian heritage was often snubbed. The coverage of Harris's historic election failed to mention that she was also the first Indian American, not just woman, elected to the Senate. Similarly, the New York Times highlighted the historic nature of Harris's presidential campaign following Biden's dropout in July. The outlet noted that Harris was elected as the first black woman to serve as California's Attorney General and the second black woman to be elected to the Senate, but did not make the same note of her historic first status in those positions as an Indian American. Conversation around Harris's identity came to a head Wednesday, this is the good bit, when former President Donald Trump sat down for a panel at the National Association of Black Journalists conference. ABC reporter Rachel Scott asked the former president if he believed that Harris was only on the Democratic ticket because of her race. Biden previously noted in 2020 that he was considering four black women to be his vice president and had promised to pick a female. "Well, I can say no. Maybe it's a little bit different," Trump said. "So I have known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much. She was always of Indian heritage and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black? I respect either one," Trump said, as one of the panelists told him Harris always identified as black. "I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't because she was Indian all the way. And then all of a sudden she made a turn and she went and became a black person." The comment caused a media uproar, with many accusing Trump of a racialized attack against Harris. "It was the same old show, the divisiveness and the disrespect," Harris said in response to Trump's remarks. "And let me just say, the American people deserve better." Harris's record in office hasn't delivered for Americans of Indian descent, Shigul argued. She made it very clear that she does not look highly upon entrepreneurship. She does not look highly upon meritocracy. The administration supports affirmative action, which harms Indian American applicants to college. You can go down the list and see that regardless of the identity politics that Democrats and the media want to play, it's clear that she does not value the things that have made the American dream possible for us. And that's because, unlike many on the left, most Indian Americans aren't interested in competing in the victimhood Olympics, Shigul said. Similarly, Ricky Gill, the former director for Russia and European Energy Security at the National Security Council and former senior advisor at the State Department, told the caller that Harris's track record has reflected that she is trying to distance herself from the Indian American community and that it has been submerged by design. Gill pointed to the Black Lives Matter protests when Harris raised funds to bail rioters out of prison. Rioters were torching and looting businesses, and there were innocent business owners, people who were immigrants, in some cases Indian American business owners, who identified with the dream of starting a business. They saw those dreams go up in a smoke of flames. Why? Because Kamala Harris, as a national figure and then as a potential vice president, was raising money for protesters to get out of bail or get out of jail scot-free, Gill said. I won't finish this article. I think you've got the general gist. Now the news is that Harris earns enough votes in virtual roll call to clinch nomination, and that's from the DNC chair. The virtual roll call began Thursday morning but will not officially end until Monday evening. Vice President Kamala Harris has earned the support of a majority of delegates in the Democratic National Committee's virtual roll call and will be the party's nominee in November. That's a report from Just the News. But Slay News reports, DNC official admits in undercover video that Kamala Harris cannot win. She's weirdly unpopular. A bombshell undercover video has exposed major doubt among the Democrats about Vice President Kamala Harris's presidential campaign. The undercover video from journalist James O'Keefe and his O'Keefe Media Group features a top Democrat working for the Kamala Harris campaign and the Democratic National Committee, DNC. Democrat official Joyce DeSerce explains that Harris really can't win this year's presidential election against President Donald Trump. DeSerce tells an undercover reporter, "I don't think Kamala Harris would win this year." The reporter then asked Assurs why Harris wouldn't be able to beat Trump. She's weirdly unpopular, Assurs asserts. She doesn't have any accomplishments to speak of, he further explains. Brian Cates from Rise of the New Media newsletter agrees. Word salad Harris won't last long against Trump. Expect her to follow Joe Biden over the side of the DNC ship before long. They're all going to be loudly pretending for another week or so that they can wave their magic wand and bewitch the public with some satanic illusion that word salad Harris is a viable presidential candidate they can steal an election for. And then they're going to realise far too much of the public is not buying the new programming. There are consequences to losing one's mojo, you know. The next plot twist in this movie is going to be really good. All the usual fake news media suspects spent the past few days babbling to each other inside their closed-off media bubble just how swimmingly well that Harris campaign launch went, based on their own fake polls. Trying to move the country on from the Trump assassination and the Biden coup as quickly as possible so they can return to trying to relentlessly gaslight us all, this time gaslighting us that Harris is a viable presidential candidate. They're going to regret trying this. This is going to backfire on them. Watch it happen. Bookmark this column. Check back in 2 weeks and see what resulted from that spectacularly successful Komar La campaign launch. Democrats and their propaganda outlets disguised as mainstream news media outlets in 2 weeks when they realised their illusory launch of the Harris campaign using fake polls didn't work and that campaign isn't really alive. I'm serious, people. You will see them do this. The cope will be epic. One last thing. Gateway Pundit reports, and my comment is we seem to have some predictive programming going on here. FBI and CISA raise eyebrows with election cyber attack warning. DDoS attacks on election infrastructure could hinder access to election information. The FBI and Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, earlier this week sounded alarm bells with conservatives by warning that cyber attacks targeting the 2024 election could happen this fall. The two agencies jointly released a public service announcement on July 31st, warning that distributed denial of service, DDoS attacks on election infrastructure could block public access to critical information on the 2024 elections, but assured the public that there will be no impact on election security. This assertion by the agencies raised eyebrows from conservatives led by DC Drano, who believes they are going to rig the election for Kamala Harris. He posts on X, breaking, I almost never say breaking, so listen up. CISA and FBI have put out a very ominous warning about a potential election attack this fall. And he shows part of the bulletin. I really won't go into this, I've just said it. He goes on, many of us have said for years now that we're expecting a black swan event to occur that affects the 2024 election. Will it be COVID like 2020, World War III, a series of violent terrorist attacks, or a cyber attack? CISA and FBI just put out a bulletin warning people of the last one. And a reply from Salty Goat, same CISA that said we had the most secure election in history in 2020, sounds to me like they're setting the stage. And Giulio Murillo posts, let the rigging commence. And for those of you who are worried about that, believe me, the White Hats will not let them steal the 2024 election. So that's all I have time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show and you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week. Thank you very much for listening. Before I go, just a reminder, if you're interested in any of the new programs or packages that I've got, please go and look at my website and drop me a line at janet@thesuccessalchemist.net if you'd like to know more. And I'd like to thank Nancy for producing and Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. You'll find him at mysticalwares.com. And of course, I meant to mention my website is thesuccessalchemist.net. So until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.